Fashion.
I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion.
Hey. Well, well, well. Hello, hello, hags. Welcome to the show.
We survived episode 69.
Yeah. Thanks again, Victoria.
Yes.
Congratulations on the release of your book, Fierce Fatty. Yes. Go get it.
Maybe one of my favorite episodes ever was her episode.
She's so great. She's just a delight.
Fantastic.
We are on episode number 70 of the Fashion Hags podcast. Hello.
Hey.
Hello, hello. Welcome to hour one of the podcast.
Yeah. Here we are.
We were just getting into some ASMR, ASMR talk, as you do, to catch up.
Get the nails going.
Abby has news. Go on. What's your news?
I have some tea about the ASMR world. Okay, so you know there's 4chan.
Okay, yeah.
And there's also 8chan, which is worse.
Oh, boy. Go on.
So there's that.
Okay.
Some fucking misogynist, chauvinist pieces of shit have decided that they don't like that women are dominating the ASMR video universe. So they have somehow managed to, through Twitter, YouTube, and PayPal, shut down a whole bunch of women-owned and run ASMR YouTube accounts.
How?
Reporting them as sexual content, which is like not ASMR. Like, I was reading this article, I forget where it was, some like Medium or Slate or some like legitimate source. Like, 4% of people are in it for like sexy reasons.
Yeah.
Everybody else just has relaxation, falling asleep, enjoyment,
humor,
weird, freaky, awesome, whatever, that tingle in your skull or whatever that people talk about. I don't have it.
I just like watching like the sludge videos and like where they cut soap.
Yeah, the cutting soap is super satisfying.
Ooh, also,
it's really satisfying.
Epic Lava. Have you guys seen Epic Lava?
Yes. I've seen them on like
That's a real good one. It's like, it's like for your eyeballs.
Yes. Yeah. It's one of those like satisfying videos.
Yeah.
But
that
anyway,
is so annoying.
So like these women who have their business and their livelihood making these weird fucking videos are like they're banned from PayPal for life. All of their funds are frozen for 180 days. Ugh. And then also YouTube and Twitter and all this stuff is also banning them and blocking them and suspending them and whatever.
Because they're women and they're doing it.
Because they're women and they're
succeeding.
Successful and yes.
Ugh, I'm so tired of that shit. Why?
Just let them
do their thing. Who cares?
Just let them whisper into a microphone.
Who
come
gives
on.
A shit?
Oh, man. Ugh. So that's exhausting and infuriating.
Gross.
And these poor boys, like, what the fuck am I supposed to do for 180 days? And is that, like, legal to freeze my money for that anyway? And it's all international, so it, like, complicates things. These women all over the world, and these 8chan assholes are, like, untraceable or whatever, and anonymous, and...
Ugh, everybody just be cool. Fucking
And of
hell.
Course, like, YouTube and Twitter are, like, being super cool about it, right?
Yeah, I bet.
Because they got a real good track record for, you know, being cool about
for being cool.
stuff. And understanding and, you know.
Just be cool. It's not hard. Just mind your own business, how about even?
How about?
Start with that. Yeah. Start with that very basic requirement.
Oh, man.
Gross.
Anyway, so that's what I was reading about earlier this week.
But let's get into something lighter. It's your daughter's birthday today.
Yes, my human child, my oldest human child has been awake or alive for 4 years.
How exciting. Happy birthday, Margot.
Happy birthday. Mm-hmm. She had a pretty good day.
I almost got her a hat from Bass Pro Shops today.
I can already see her just like, what the fuck?
It would not, the gift was not for her. The gift was for you, Jake.
Yes. Well, so I went to Dairy Queen last night to get her a cake. Because we had just like a regular Sunday family night or Sunday night family dinner. We're just going to get an ice cream cake because it's fucking the best.
That's what I want. By the way, my birthday is on Saturday. Anyone who wants to bring me an ice cream cake?
There you go.
Welcome.
Sign up.
I am on board. Treats of pizza.
Also acceptable. In. Yes. But I was looking at, I didn't plan ahead and like call and have one made or whatever. So I'm just going to go to the one by our house and just see what ones they had in the freezer. And I was very tempted to buy one with Homer Simpson going, woohoo! But me and Dave and his brother would be the only people who would like enjoy it.
Would get it, right.
So I just got like an Oreo Blizzard one, which I knew everybody would like. And that fucker got eaten like, boom.
That is never
We're like picking not at it. And I got the big guy too, because there's a lot of, there's like 20 people to feed, including the random cousins that show up that are surprises sometimes.
You that, are never going to go wrong with the Oreo.
No, it's the Blizzard I always get anyway.
Yeah. That's the best Blizzard.
Well. RIP Krispy Kreme Blizzard.
Still, no more?
Still choked. They discontinued it. I've been eating a Krispy Kreme for American listeners. It's like a Butterfinger, but better.
Better. Definitely better.
I've been eating it for 30 years. I'm not even joking. I've been eating it for a full 30 years.
I love Krispy Kreme. They're my favorite ones. Like Halloween candy. Yeah. That's my favorite. That's the first
one. I'm a sucker for anything peanut butter and chocolate.
They were like, third string for
the
me.
The Score one.
Third, yeah.
The Score That's one fair. Has the texture, the crunchiness.
It's like a hard toffee,
and
right?
The PB, whatever, Reese Cups has the peanut butter, but neither of those is Krispy Kreme.
Nope.
So now I just get Oreo.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but you can get fudge with the Oreo, too. That's good, too. I do like that.
We get the center?
Yep. You get a
the
glob.
The Royale or
get
whatever.
A glob of fudge in there?
Glob. Might hard glob. Well. Can I have an extra glob, please?
Glob Talk. Today on Glob Talk.
First spinoff podcast. Anyway.
So what'd you guys do for the birthday? Anything exciting?
We woke up this morning. I'd seen in one of, there's a Disney short. It's on Netflix. There's just like compilation of Disney shorts. And there's like, I don't know, but maybe a dozen in this hour and a half long each, whatever, 8 minutes long or something. And there's a Frozen one where it's Anna's birthday. And Elsa sets up a string through the whole house. Well, it's their castle for them because they're princesses. And they follow the string through the whole house and she gets all their presents.
That's fun.
And we've watched it 1 million times. So I did that last night before bed and then also told Dave, I'm like, if you wake up in the middle of the night, remember there's strings all over the place? Don't teach it.
Oh, that's fun.
I tried to make them loose enough so they weren't like taut across hallways and stuff. But I tied it to her doorknob and then put like a Kinder Egg. And then over here are the back door and did one little present. And then over here and in the bathroom. And she just, our house isn't that big. But I figured out whatever. I milked out like 6 or 7 between a Kinder Egg and a deck of cards. Like spread them all out through the house. And she was pretty excited about that.
That's pretty sweet. That's a good
And she got like all her presents before school, which was also great.
Perfect.
Except then she wanted more presents afterwards. I was like, no, bitch, you got all your presents this morning. And also she wanted to go to a toy store this afternoon. I'm like, no, you got literally like 8 things this morning.
Yeah.
Two of them were surprise eggs, but that's fine. And you gave one to your sister, so that's okay. I was like, no. So that was good. And then she went to school and I made Rice Krispie treats for her and her classmates sang her happy birthday. And she was so happy that everybody sang happy birthday for her.
Also Rice Krispie treats. Also, it's my birthday on Saturday. Anyone wants to bring me Rice Krispie treats?
And it was some icing and some little candy sprinkles on top. It was a good time. The box came back empty. They all got eaten.
Actually, they always do.
There's one upstairs because it was supposed to be mine and then I didn't end up eating it. But, and then she wanted to go to dinner.
As you do when you're 4.
So we're trying to figure I don't want to go to McDonald's or something. We need something better than that. Because we go to McDonald's all the time. Probably more than we should. So we went to this place called Rocky Mountain Flatbread.
Ooh, that's pizza good.
Place. Oh, I went there this past
weekend. It's super kid-friendly.
So kid-friendly.
It's also fine for adults. Like, the food's pretty decent. They have I didn't know they had so many, plant-based options. They have quite an extensive gluten-free and vegan options. I did not get any of that. They have an area with, a pretend pizza oven and toy food and stuff. And it was great. And crayons. And she got her own little pizza and she ate almost the whole thing, which is pretty much unheard of. But so that was fun. And then we walked down the street to a giant candy store up on Main and King Ed called Yum. And it's just all candy.
Perfect.
What do you need? She got a lollipop the size of her face, essentially. And there you go. And now I can hear her crying upstairs as Dave's trying to put her to bed. And she's melting down because she had a giant thing of candy. And mind you, I gave her a cupcake in her lunch today for school. And she didn't eat it.
What? Doesn't she know it's her birthday?
And it's like, I had apple slices and a granola bar. Those got eaten.
Good for her. She's exercising some restraint.
Good, because she had fucking a ton and a half of sugar after dinner. Man. And then like a Kinder Egg for breakfast, too, because she ate that then, too.
Good for her.
So,
that's fun.
She's living her best life.
Happy fourth birthday.
And she didn't get any clothes or any books for her birthday. Nothing but good times.
Love it.
Yeah. Anyway. So that's me.
Evan, what's up with you? What's going on?
I had a bit of a wild weekend.
Did you?
Even though I've returned to the world of academia.
That's right.
For a 10-week stint.
Right.
A 10-week limited engagement.
Yeah. Yeah. Branding, darling.
Branding. Entrepreneurship. Small business fish. Executive realness. My executive realness today was an extended length sweater, comfy pants, and a gigantic puffer vest because it is fucking cold in that classroom. And I was really, really
fucking
tired.
Good for you for being prepared.
Yeah, really tired because of this past weekend. But I got out of class on Friday and I had a bunch of missed calls, most of them being from former guest Willow.
Oh, yes.
From episode 13. And I was like, oh my God, what's going on? So I call her. She's like, okay, cancel your life, cancel your plans, send the assistants home, quit your job, sell your house. We are going to Blood Orange tonight.
Okay. I don't know what that is.
Blood Orange
I've never heard of it either.
Blood Orange is this sick band that is
sick. Sick.
And they were playing as part of this this festival with a bunch of other acts, and I didn't even know what was going on. But Willow's friends with the lead singer, Dev Hines, and they just released a new album called Negro Swan, and it's so beautiful.
What kind of music are we talking?
Oh, God, it's just like if Prince and electronic music and like disco and American folk music and gospel had a baby.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. That's a mixed baby.
And like Solange.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Oh, shit. Okay. Okay. Where was the show?
At the Orpheum, which huge, like,
big,
stunning,
fancy, gilded theater here.
It looks like Phantom of the Opera in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Full on.
Fun.
I wish I wore like an evening gown with a train, but there was way too many people in there. It would have inconvenienced.
Yeah.
Not only myself, but everyone in the fucking theater. But the show was so fucking good. And then afterwards, we just like hung out with the band.
Fun.
Which was so cool. And I had a friend visiting from Seattle who I was like, this is not usually my life. Like, this is not what I do. Like, we were supposed to like just hang out and like order food and like
chill.
Just chill. But now we're like,
Playing a mega glamour card.
We are like being very glamorous and like
very rock and roll.
Very rock and roll. And V like called up this guy that she knows, former podcast guest V Foe. And we just like called up this dude. He showed up in a limo and we picked up these folks from their hotel in a limo and we just like drove around a limo.
Shit.
4 o'clock rolls around.
Oh, shit.
We're rolling out of Lucy's East Side Diner.
Oh, dang, you get a milkshake?
Yeah, I don't think anyone got a milkshake.
Yeah, oh, they make you good milkshakes, gotta get a milkshake.
Not my native ass with my dairy sensitivity.
Oof.
Especially after a night of drinking, like, tequila.
Yeah, okay, fair.
Yeah.
All right, grilled cheese then? Did you get a grilled cheese?
I got, what did I get? I can't even remember, honestly.
I love that little diner.
I opened my phone a few days later and there were photos in there. I don't even remember taking these photos.
That is a good night. You were living your best life.
Yeah. Made it home, washed my makeup off, took out my contact lenses. My outfit was folded nicely on the dresser when I woke up. Drunk Evan really
got it in control.
Really knows
really
what's
kept
up.
It together. I popped a Tylenol before crawling into bed.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. And then I just spent the rest of the weekend just hanging out with my native queer kin. We just went to a powwow, went to the museum, brunched, ate, chatted.
Perfect.
Good times.
Good weekend.
Trees. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And then I saw the only indigenous themed work at the Vancouver Fringe Festival.
Oh.
It was really cute. It was a one man show, and it was all about this kid who's sick in the hospital and his grandpa comes and like just tells him all these traditional stories and basically just like helps him like get better as he's in the hospital.
Cool.
And it like reconnects him to his grandfather but also to his people
and whatever, sure.
Nice. Really cute.
Cool.
Yeah.
Enjoyable.
A really cute weekend.
Aww.
Sounds perfect.
Yeah.
I also went to a show.
Oh, yeah.
I've made one plan this entire year. And it happened to be the same day that Abby also wanted to make plans and I had to cancel and I felt really horrible.
It was fine.
But I went to see the Avett Brothers. It was at the Queen Elizabeth. I thought it was at the Orpheum, but it was at the Queen Elizabeth.
Still a big fancy theater.
It was such a good show.
I saw Pavement there of all places.
That's a different.
It was a different vibe.
Venue, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Anyway, it was such a good show. It's the first show I've been to in ages, certainly of that on that scale as well. It was so fun. We had pretty good seats. We were like the second row and on the balcony, so you could see everything really well.
Yeah, an obscured view.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really good. They just put on a really fun show. It was super, fantastic. Like the music was really good. But what I was going to talk about was two days ago on Saturday, we had our it's now become an annual thing. We have our annual.
Your second annual.
Our second annual. Second annual baseball game for my birthday, but this year was it was the Duchess Memorial Cup. So it's the
Rip
first
Duchess, yes.
Duchess Memorial Cup. It's the second Van Voyage is what we've called it. Anyway, it's just a slow pitch game or a softball game, which a bunch of my pals that I get together and we run around some bases and throw some balls and catch. Sometimes we catch them and
sometimes you don't.
You drink beer all day.
Sometimes you drink beer instead.
Yeah, you do. Definitely you drink beer instead, where there's always your beer being consumed for sure. It was so fun. It's always like such a fun, like low-key sport, quote-unquote sports event.
Activity.
But I am so fucking sore. My quads are so, like, my throwing, all those muscles that you use one time a year and you use them for the whole day, turns out it's not a good idea.
Yeah, there you go. It doesn't work out so well.
It's embarrassing how sorry I am for the output that I put out during this game. I was like, maybe I should stretch a little more. Like maybe
do a couple laps maybe
more than one time a year. But it was a total blast, and it just pumps me up that people want to come out and run around. And then we just went to my friend Quinn's, who lives really close by. She's like, come over to our place after, like. We just moved in, so it was sort of a housewarming party at her place.
Ordered
a bunch of pizza. We were going to do a barbecue, but she doesn't have a barbecue. And I was like, fuck that. We'll just order bunch of pizzas.
Man. That is not the important part of this.
No. Yeah. Ordered a bunch of pizzas and then had a dance party. And it was the best.
Fabulous.
It was so much fun. So if anyone wants to do that, I highly recommend it as an easy event.
There you go.
Also, my friend Quinn is a gym teacher as well. So she had like all the bases. She had all the bats. She had all the balls. She had extra gloves. She like knew how to split the teams up properly.
Nice.
Like she just like took over as a gym teacher. It was perfect. It was exactly what
we
needed.
She's a good person to know.
Yeah. We needed her to like, you know, gather us all around and make baseball happen.
Take a knee.
Yeah, exactly.
Gather around. Take a knee.
Yeah. It was really, really fun. And my friend Paige made us a trophy. She ordered a trophy. You can, like, customize trophies online. So she got us a trophy with a little van, literally a little golden van.
Why is that a thing? Like, why was that an option?
I have no idea, but I'm so glad it was there.
Yes. Very grateful.
So now we have a trophy. So that was my weekend. It was really fun. I'm stretching my birthday out over the entire week. So
go for it.
Get together on Saturday.
It's allowed.
My next birthday. My birthday is on next Sunday, so I get a bit of time to
happen.
Stretch it out as I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what I got up to. It was really fun.
Beautiful.
It was a good weekend. Spent the entire day on Sunday in bed.
Just lying down? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we did get up and go for brunch. I had a breakfast poutine.
Yourself. Oh, what the fuck's that?
Riding on top. It was literally a poutine. It was like a jerk chicken poutine.
Oh.
And I just ordered a fried egg on the side because they had like a brunch menu and the poutine was like.
Do you love eggs and french fries?
God damn it, it was good.
Eggs and potatoes. Oh, it's a
fuck,
good combo.
A bit of hot sauce and a Caesar.
It's a good combo.
It was the best. It was the best breakfast. Mm. It was exactly what I needed.
Yep.
Went back home, lied down on the couch, watched like 3 episodes of Sherlock.
There you go.
Perfect day.
Perfect.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, moving along. We have sort of a heavy, not quite heavy. We have a.
Not as light.
Not as light.
Not as light as last week.
Not as light as last week, yeah.
Mind you, we touched on some cool shit last week.
But you know what? We are multidimensional, multifaceted.
We're complicated.
Caucasian women.
That's right. We are talking about fashion and politics. Basically politics, but make it fashion is what we're talking today.
Sounds good.
And also maybe like the politics behind supporting certain designers. And what does it mean to wear certain things and certain designers.
Supporting certain people.
Yeah.
And not supporting other people.
Exactly.
There's a lot of ways. Well, I mean, you could look back through the entire history of fashion and it's always been below the surface of politics.
A little bit, right? Yeah, yeah.
It's always connected. It's never not going to be. It's forever.
I think we've said it before and we'll say it again, but fashion is always a good thing to look to. And that's a quick snapshot of where society is at any given time. You can really tell the way a society functions and what it thinks and
how it sees itself
by how people dressed at a certain point in time.
Yeah, economic success, social success, is it progressive, is it not, or, you know.
There's the thing about hemlines. Although that's more economic, but hemlines are...
That's politically related.
They're direct... The length of hemlines, trend-wise, reflects the state of the economy. It's bizarre, but it's like a proven...
Again and again and again.
Yeah, so strange. Anyway, this was Evan's idea for a topic, which I'm stoked about. I was like, wait a minute, when you text the topic over the other day or whatever, I was like, wait, is he writing a paper? Are we just doing all this research so that Evan can get all this stuff for a paper?
Now
he's back
brains.
In school. He's like, oh, I got to write this paper. Let's talk about this instead.
And I'm like, going to record the conversation so I can listen to it later. Okay,
yeah,
great.
Exactly.
I see what's going on here. I see. Meanwhile, I'm like researching like crazy, like, this is really interesting.
It's almost like we're all academics.
Oh, strange.
Yeah, we're definitely nerds.
Well, what was it about the topic that got you thinking?
I'll talk about my obsession later, I think.
Okay.
But I can allude to that.
Yeah.
By... I was just thinking about Oscar de la Renta's brand.
Okay.
Because I was looking at the new show during New York Fashion Week and at the new designers. And so it's really interesting that when Oscar, it was time for him to leave, that the people who are at the helm of the company kind of made this decision, oh, we're going to hire a design couple who are not white. And we're also going to hire a woman to design women's wear. Ooh, who would have thought?
Shocking. Revolutionary.
Revolutionary.
Oh.
Because like you...
Florals for spring.
Yeah. Like, groundbreaking.
Groundbreaking.
And then I was thinking like what, like when we were in design school, like it meant something completely different to wear Oscar de la Renta. It was very old guard, right wing, conservative folks, like a lot of politicians' wives love Oscar de la Renta.
Yeah, yeah, at the Republican National Committee are wearing them.
They're all wearing an Oscar de la Renta suit or like a Carolina Herrera like cashmere twin set, you know?
Yep.
And all of these brands have taken to hiring like queer designers, openly queer designers,
people
of color, women,
younger people,
younger folks.
Yeah.
Because I think that like now that I'm in school as well, like I'm just thinking about what does it mean for someone to wear my clothes? And I was like kind of putting that on to other designers as well, like just in my research. And it's like, oh shit, like back in the day, when we were in design school, like, I don't know, like less than a decade ago, it meant like with those types of brands, like those classic American sportswear brands like Ralph Lauren and Carolina Herrera and Oscar de la Renta, it was always like created for this certain person in mind who you could kind of sense where their political affiliations lied, and they were more
who was supporting
right
Trump and who doesn't.
They would align themselves. Yeah,
yeah.
Who voted Bush? Who didn't? Yeah,
yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Yeah,
that was like kind of that was where that little brain bug went to.
Yeah, and it's interesting how much has changed even since we were in fashion school.
It's almost it's a completely different industry.
Yeah. Well, even like
it's
if you look
such
at
a shift, right?
That fucking god awful display that Melania Trump did about her that's stupid jacket.
That's what my brain went to when I saw this topic. I was like, that fucking coat.
What did it say on the back? It was like, I don't really care, do you? Something like that. When she was going to
Why
visit.
Should I care or something? Yeah.
I think it was, I don't really care.
I don't really care.
Yeah.
And when she was going to visit the fucking detention centers where these kids are being ripped apart from their families and held in a fucking barn.
Cage.
Ugh. So there's an example of how different that is. That would can you imagine if Michelle Obama had done something?
Well, it's an unfathomable.
Or like Barbara Bush or
literally anyone. Any first lady other than this first lady.
And that jacket was from Zara.
Yeah, first of all, she ever worn Zara in her goddamn life.
Yeah.
Probably you know what? Not in the last 20 years or whatever, how long she's been married to Trump and the few years before that.
Yeah, that's a pretty hideous example.
But yeah, thinking about something like that, that was obviously, I mean, they downplayed it as just like, what do you mean? It's just a jacket. You guys are concentrating on the jacket. No, why are you concentrating on the jacket?
They were gaslighting. They gaslighted the entire country.
It was
with
such
that.
A specific choice.
Yeah. You don't
for
accidentally.
Multiple people.
Yeah, that's not an accident. And if it is, if you just wore the wrong thing, no, I'm sorry. You don't get to wear the wrong thing. There are consequences to every action. You
already
take.
Wore high heels to a hurricane, whatever, didn't you? Last year, something wore fucking high heels walking through the flood zone or something.
Yeah.
So there's that. That one you can kind of laugh off. Not this
I
one.
Mean, you can kind of laugh off.
Yeah, there's a capital kinda.
I like another thing that makes me, that's really unsettling to me is how white supremacy is having this resurgence in the world.
Yeah, no.
I mean, it's never been gone.
Now.
But it's like let's.
I'm
back.
Hearing about it.
Yeah.
In my safe bubble of media that I've curated for myself in my Facebook feed and in my news sources or whatever other websites I visit, I'm still hearing about it, and I have never heard about it before.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking gross. It's very very strange. Like I remember growing up and hearing about like. Skinheads and like,
yeah, but they were like,
but it was like in Berlin.
Yeah, they were over there. Yeah. Or it was back, way back when, or like there.
Yeah,
or it turned
in
into
a while.
More of an aesthetic than it did like a political.
Yeah.
Sure, like when docs came back or whatever, and like they were adopted, but they became more than that, and they just became. They moved past the punk and neo Nazis to become a fashion staple almost.
And I mean, if you want to talk about politics and punk, I mean, politics and fashion, punk is a great example of that. When the whole world
really
was going
clashed.
To shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was a major.
It was a very overt statement on purpose, like a straight up rejection.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if anybody could do that now. Because there's so much variety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You
know,
there's right.
There's not, you know, there's personal style and there's so many different niche groups or subgroups or whatever, and people can weave in between them and out of them as much as they please. I don't know if one group could create such a specific aesthetic with such a specific movement or whatever, like idea behind
an
it.
Attitude.
And,
yeah, definitely.
I don't know.
I think it, like to jump off of that, it's been really,
unless you're like the Antifa and you just wear black all over the black block and you just wear black all the time, break windows.
Yeah, I'm constantly in mourning for multiple reasons, as I say here,
just,
in
100%
all black.
Black.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that. Like, I'm finding that a lot of like these up and coming brands, like Telfar or Eckhaus Lotta or Vaquera, like all these New York brands, a lot of the references that they go to in their work, they kind of bring you back to the 70s during like the nuclear missile crisis and like the anti, like the Vietnam War protests and like all these kinds of things. And then also
there's a lot of upheaval, right?
Yeah. Like visual references from like the AIDS crisis movement, especially in San Francisco with like the Castro clone kind of look where it's like with a ringer tee and high-waisted jeans and everything's super tight and like the look is very athletic but like really polished at the same time. And then, I don't know, it's just, it's really interesting to me that like these brands, instead of trying to like dress the activists of the present, they're kind of going back to what activists wore during the last major social
round of whatever. Upheaval. Yeah.
Upheavals. Yeah. Or social justice movements, and have like brought that into their brand DNA. It's almost like
well, there's nothing like new. Nothing new under the sun. Yeah, so yeah. There's that.
Exactly. Yeah.
So maybe that's all they can do, mm-hmm. unless you want to go like Yoji Yamamoto on this shit and like just go super weird.
Yeah.
But you can see how follows that same natural train of thought. It's like when you go out and you look for inspiration, or you're doing research on the things that are inspiring sure. you and pumping up, and you're yeah. putting together a collection.
Shapes or textures and whatever yeah. references.
And you see what's going on in the world and you're pissed about what you see, which is, I mean, there's a lot of people right now pissed.
On both sides. A lot yeah. of people are angry on both sides.
Yeah. So there are a lot of social movements that are happening. There's Black Lives Matter. There's, you know, the Women's March. There's on the other
LGBTQ
side,
LGBTQ plus stuff,
LGBTQ, there's, all that stuff.
And then there's the other things. There's the bathroom people who are fighting for bathrooms.
Trans, all this.
And the Christians under attack. And,
yeah. And then on the other opposite extreme is like neo-Nazi bullshit that's coming up again. And, yeah. and you know, and men's rights yeah, activists and all this kind of crazy bullshit. Oh, and trying to navigate that.
Yeah.
So I can see yeah. how looking into these things, you would naturally be drawn to previous instances of these, you know, movements.
This feeling,
like
yeah.
style and cues and visual cues.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And what techniques and what statements they were making with their clothes at the time when it was important yeah, for them. You know what I mean?
Interesting to know. I don't have the base of historical fashion, historical knowledge for this, but how many of those things were references back in the 70s? Mm-hmm. Or was it just what they were wearing at the time?
Like flower power, like hippies.
Yeah. Like what were they referencing? Like, because everything's piggybacking off of something else. I mean, you know, I'm asking a question I don't have an answer to. So that makes for a great podcast.
Things were like vaguely like Renaissance inspired. I feel like silhouette.
A lot of that that hippie
like
stuff.
Lots of that, like,
fabrics, the
like
colors,
lace up kind of
yeah,
like details.
Browns and creams.
Well, coming from a place that isn't, that's close to the earth, like this.
Yeah.
These are farmers and farm, like the peasant dresses and those yeah. big ruffles and stuff. That's
and flower motifs and florals and natural things.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's not coming from, you know, someone who's going to Wall Street and working on Wall Street. That's coming from the opposite end of that
spectrum. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And in that same time, it was like the death of like the mod squad and like
yeah, an answer to that.
Super like linear
space
and futuristic
age.
And,
yeah,
they needed to like subvert all of that and go back to. The
so
earth.
It's interesting to see when these things resurgence or whatever come back again and again and again. Mm-hmm. How some of those things are lost and some of the things are highlighted and then some of the things are mutated into something else. And
well, it's interesting. One of the things I wanted to talk about, which is a fairly recent and I think really good example, but Hillary Clinton and her pantsuits as one thing.
Pantsuit army.
Her pantsuit, but also wearing white. I forget, but she wore white a few times, but there was one instance, I guess it was the night of the election.
Yeah.
For her concession speech? No, a concession speech, she wore something else. But anyways, there was quite a few instances where she wore white. And that was a nod to the suffragette movement.
Oh, sure, because
that's
white.
What they wore. Yeah. They wore white as a symbol of, not innocence, but like they weren't here to rock the boat. They were just here. These women are not fucking crazy bananas. They're not hysterical. They're, you know, they're good people.
Reasonable people asking for a logical.
Asking for something reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the pantsuit thing, I read an interesting article about it today. And the pantsuit thing was like, I think early in her career, she kept on getting written up about what she was wearing more than what she was saying.
Mm, mm-hmm.
So over time, this was a totally calculated thing where it's like, well, fuck that. I'm going to just wear this same silhouette that's boring.
Yeah.
And dumb. I mean, not dumb. That's not the word she
just
would use. But it's boring
almost.
And it's not.
Sure, yeah.
It's not flashy.
Yeah.
And eventually people stopped talking about what she was wearing and started writing about what she was saying and what she had to talk about and what, you know, the reason she was actually at a podium, for what she's fucking wearing. So that was a over many years, that was a calculated thing of like, I'm not going to wear something that people want to talk about because who wants
That's
to talk
what
about
I
what I'm
talking talk about?
Like, give me a fucking break.
Yeah.
So I thought that was like pretty cool. Like,
I mean,
work it into a move.
Work it into a move and deliberately making that choice of, I'm going to wear this shit that's boring and I'll make it look fine. Who cares? Because who
cares?
And
it'll be appropriate and whatever. Yeah. It'll suit the purpose and the context.
And then women who supported her jumped on it and it turned into this pantsuit army movement thing that people were like, it actually turned into a thing that made sense for other women.
For other women they could identify with. Yeah.
I mean, you don't get more political, I think, than that. That's a pretty clear statement of don't talk about what I'm wearing. Talk about what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And not in like a shitty gaslighting way.
Yeah.
Like with the Melania incident.
Yeah. It took years.
Do we think that that she made that decision on her own or she was told to wear that jacket?
Oh, she was told.
I think someone...
She would not come from her.
No.
No.
She did not mastermind that moment.
No.
No.
At the very least,
she was given a selection of jackets and she selected that one, but I'm being very generous with the amount of control she probably has.
Or maybe...
I don't know. Yeah. I think she might have... what does she care? She doesn't fucking care. She's been put in a position because she married a piece of shit who happened to get elected. She never wanted to be a first lady. So now she's in this thing. She doesn't fucking care. So she's in a position where she doesn't. I feel like it would not surprise me if she chose that jacket on her own.
She's been in a weird position. I was going to say lately, but whatever, the whole entire time. Cheeto Man has been
since she married him
in power where he will do something and she will have to say something and she will come up with some sort of statement that kind of addresses the impropriety or the ridiculousness or the straight up stupidity of what he said, but also like not contradicting it either.
She doesn't really say anything.
But I was going to say, these are statements that I've seen attributed to her.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Only ever in written form.
Yeah.
Like, it's a written statement. She's not, like, given speech. Mind you, I'm not, like, up on my Melania press conferences.
Yeah.
I don't have a Google alert set for Melania press. But she has to be, so she's still kind of trying to be that first lady person. Of like supportive.
I don't know. I don't think she gives a fuck.
Yeah.
I think she cares about her kid. She might care a bit about him.
Slapping his hand away.
I don't think she likes him at all. How could you, first of all?
Yeah.
But no, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think we
She's a strange conundrum.
I feel like she is the wife of a leader in the wrong era. Like, if she was the wife of a leader in the 16th century, you know what I mean? Like, in another century or in another quiet area of
part
Europe
of the world,
150
yeah.
years ago, it would be perfectly fine for her to be what she is. But, sorry, bitch, times change.
2018 and...
You're following Michelle Obama? Like,
That's a tough act to
That's
follow.
A tough act to follow, and you're doing a horrible
Regardless
job.
Of political affiliation, that's a tough one.
Yeah, definitely. Ugh. I miss Michelle Obama. She's so great.
Yes, she was.
And she sort of... I read this other article about what kind of stuff she did, and she sort of made it cool, like... Made it, you didn't have to be super uptight and fussy as a first lady for her. She was sort of the first lady to like be cool and, you know, wear some cool stuff and wear sleeveless. Like she wore a lot of sleeveless. That was big.
Yeah, she broke a lot of rules with that.
Yeah.
Like, and the one rule, the sleeve rule. I guess there's sleeve.
Yeah. But she did it a lot. Mm. What was the other thing I was going
to
say?
But bringing
about
it
her?
Into like the 21st century and being like, you don't need to have these archaic dress codes for things.
And she
can still look good and you can still be appropriate. And you can still, you know.
And you can wear stuff that's affordable.
I was like going to say, you can go from a
Zara
bunch of
wherever.
J. Crew she loved, but then she also loved like Jason Wu and like these super high-end brands. And
yeah.
She was trying to, she managed to flawlessly bridge the gap and move the White House into the 21st century.
Just have it. Turned right back around.
Man.
But, oh, well, what can you do?
I'm very interested in also Trump suits and these ill-fitting suits that he's chosen for himself, because I do think that is something that he chooses for himself.
Yes.
Because he has been dressing like that for a long time. And I also don't think he would be one to be told,
no,
you need to not dress that way anymore. He would tell you to go fuck yourself and then shoot you off fucking cliff with a cannon.
I think he's going to kill red ties forever. Nomad is ever going to wear a red tie after this.
Oh, man. But yeah, suits are
a red tie and a white shirt and a black suit.
Oof.
Yeah.
No, that look is done.
That look is,
but it's interesting forever. That somebody who has, and has for a long time, has access to the best of the best. This must, the sleeves being weird, the tie with the extra long tied all weird, and the sloping shoulder. Like, there's so many things wrong with his suits. Yeah. And he just keeps, like, he's obviously bespoke. He's not, like, going to men's work, you know, men's warehouse and JCPenney.
Yeah, who's his tailor? Like, right? I feel like he must have had this
Hugo Boss
since the 80s.
And what tailor lets that off? Like, don't put a label in that. I wouldn't want my name associated
with that. I think fitting. That whoever he's buying these suits, they're not going to be talking anytime
soon.
Oh,
hell no. They are handsomely rewarded for their silence, I'm sure, with many legal documents signed to attest to that.
Non-disclosure agreement.
Yes, for you and the next three generations of your family.
Yeah. In perpetuity.
But that's an interesting choice, too, that, like, is he trying to be
the everyman?
But he's not.
Because that's what a suit fits like on someone off the rack.
Sure, because that's what you would just, if you have $300 or whatever, you go and you buy what's there for $300 and you just wear it. That's not.
I don't get it.
I don't know what his motivation is for that specifically. I'm not saying he's got to be like Tom Brown on this, like crop tapered pants and like whatever. Yeah. Like he doesn't need to go the other way. But it's an interesting choice and I don't understand.
What are the chances he gets his suits made in America? Zero.
Probably slim to none. At the very least, if they're made in America, they're made by an immigrant.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true, I'm sure.
Probably safe to say.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not a British man, putting a British person making those suits, I'm sorry. It's not an Italian man, and it's not a British man. I don't know who it is.
But in Canada, too, like, speaking on the other side of things, like, Trudeau, Prime Minister Trudeau, takes pretty good care of how he looks.
Yes.
Like
he's tries got to cool be socks.
A man of the people.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's got like definitely. Taco socks.
Yeah.
A different, lightning bolt kind of mask. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And Sophie Gregoire.
Oh, and no jacket and sleeves rolled up.
Yep.
Because he's there to work.
Yeah. Yeah. He's there to get
And he's, he's approachable and he's not young and he's stuffy. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll look like he's working.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what he's still getting driven around.
Let's not forget that he taught drama in high school before he became the prime minister.
Yeah,
yeah. He knows what's up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He knows the costume to get to the look across.
Mm-hmm.
For a camera.
And you see it again and again and again. And again. Or like,
He's worn the same outfit to Pride in Vancouver the past 3 years.
Oh, so some white
thing,
isn't
it? So they can reuse old promo photos. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's creepy.
Interesting.
But to her credit.
Yeah.
Sophie makes a concerted effort to support Canadian designers, like when for lots of
when
events.
She's getting photographed and she knows there's going to be.
She's like, she's stepped out of her way to do that. So that's good. I mean, you can't fault her for that. I'm sure she could be doing a
regardless
better job
of your
of
taste
it.
Or whatever, but that's nice.
But that's, I mean, it's nice to get some attention on the Canadian, on Canadian designers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It'll, I mean, if she wears a, like, I forget what the example was on this article I was reading. It was like a pair of boots or it was a jacket or something and this small Canadian brand. And they sold out within like 3 days. It was like,
oh,
that's
for sure.
It. You know, like, so that's cool that you can, you, she knows she has an influence over
she
that
can
kind
have
of
that
thing.
Effect.
And she can literally put money into her pockets. Yeah, it's good. Like, that's, that should
Meghan
be.
Meghan Markle's doing a good job too. She wears a lot of Canadian brands too. And she's not even Canadian.
Yeah.
She is.
I thought she was American.
No, her father's Canadian. Her mother's American.
Oh, yeah, that's
okay,
right.
But she grew up in the States.
She grew up in the States, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know she had that. I just thought she worked up in Canada when she was working on suits.
Suits.
In Toronto.
In Toronto.
I remember 3 years ago, three and a bit years ago, when the Trudeaus came onto the scene. The Trudeaus 2.0.
Yes.
Um, in the golden age before everything went to shit.
Back in the good old days.
that lovely Vogue article came out like a couple of days after.
When they had these beautiful photos of them together.
Shot by like, who the hell was it? It wasn't Steven Meisel. It was someone else.
Somebody else.
Some other like Vogue sanctioned photographer.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, what would have happened if he had not won the election? Would they still be talking about him in American Vogue?
Probably not. Yeah,
maybe not.
And then, I know, it just like, it just showed to me that now that everything's transpired and things have definitely gone south.
Literally and figuratively.
Yes. This was a plan from the Trudeau government before he was even in office to be using image and publicity and I mean he didn't have much to live up to from our previous prime minister who was a fucking sack of shit. But also was not considered cool by any stretch of the imagination.
Or had accomplished ever. That much in
no,
his life.
Yeah. He was
to be honest.
Anti-cool.
But it's interesting to see how they took this young man. He's in his early 40s. He's good looking by, Western standards and comes from a pedigree. And they were able to make a tidy little pretty package and use that. Yeah. And look how much Canadian, even American women are like, oh, Justin Trudeau. They know who he is. Do you think any of those women know who any of our prime ministers are ever?
No.
No.
They might know who Pierre Trudeau is.
Yeah.
Because of Justin.
Yeah.
Still weird to me that we have a prime minister named Justin. But
yeah, that is
a bit weird.
The weirdest part, maybe. Yeah.
That's still kind of weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting to see how that was, again, a deliberate move.
Yes.
Because he's like, he fucking wore like puka shell necklaces and like tied fleece around his waist.
But you know what? Good for him. That's a smart fucking move.
Hey, man.
Not
it's
the puka shells. Let me stop. That's, I'm not the puka shells. I'm saying like, the Vogue. The Vogue.
Yeah.
If he.
Hey, man.
He knew
if
he was going to
do well.
If it's
one of your strengths and you can play to it.
And you're a young guy.
They hired one hell of an image consultant for that party.
You know what?
They earned every
penny. And they're trying to shift the way that people look at Canadian politics away from just rich old.
Which has been our entire lives.
Our entire lives.
And my parents' entire lives, too. It's always been. Rich
fucking
white men.
Good for him. If you want people to take notice about what's going on in Canada and our economy and how we are so tied to the States and trade and blah,
whatever
blah, blah.
Else, yeah.
Get a good looking dude to empower and put him in Vogue. Who gives a shit?
He's well spoken. He's educated. He's from the family.
Politically, you might not agree with his politics. There's lots of his politics that I don't agree with. But good for him, man. That was a smart fucking move. He's got a hot wife. He's got good-looking kids.
Yeah.
He knows how to take a photo.
He's
he knows
well
how
spoken,
to be cool.
Yeah. He knows how to give a good speech. And
I can't fault him for that.
I will fault him for everything.
I was
going to
say there's many other things you can fault him for. Absolutely.
There's lots you can fault him for, absolutely. But taking advantage of that situation, I don't think is a bad thing.
Choice.
I think it's a smart thing, and I think it's.
I think it was interesting.
It's definitely interesting. and I think you're right. It would not have gone forward if he didn't win the election. Absolutely, that shit would have been buried forever.
And it's probably healthy to be skeptical of it and to question it and to have a critical eye. When
I just
it
like
to it.
Yes,
just
of course.
Like,
and he's so handsome.
Like,
I'm gonna vote
people,
for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
yes.
Like people
yes,
who
that's
aren't.
That's true.
In,
yeah. I mean, yeah.
Like people aren't in fashion would be like, oh, Vogue like saw that we have this new prime minister and they wanted to do a piece on him. It's like no, this came out. A week after the election.
This was months planning.
This was months in the planning.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a whole thing. Having been in touch with people who work for Vogue.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know how fucking long it takes for something to come out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even if the subject matter is potentially going to be
timely.
The prime minister of a country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. And the problem here now is... I mean, and again, to his credit, he's smart enough to know this. That is going to get him support.
He wooed a lot of people.
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
are now like, what the fuck are you talking about pipelines?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about? Whatever, resource management? What are we talking about? Like, whatever.
And I hate to say it, but get a good looking guy up there to do some dirty work.
There you go. Get the stars in your eyes.
As I'm gonna quote Miss Pamela Anderson.
Ooh.
She said
fellow
that
Canadian.
She said that our prime minister is but a pretty mask for the atrocities being committed by his government all over the world.
Which is why that move was so smart.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I will say
I'm not saying I agree with it.
It's insightful. The quote is insightful.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a smart guy for playing that card. That's all I'm saying. I mean,
it's a lot harder to hate someone who's ugly.
Or to hate
someone who's pretty.
Yeah.
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 And it's easy to hate somebody who's ugly.
Oh, yeah. Pretty privilege is real. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure.
Look how much people hate Donald Trump. He's a fucking troll.
He is a garbage pail kid. You would just draw his face and he is a garbage pail kid for sure.
But our prime minister is kind of a garbage pail kid too. You can kind of,
but like in a Ken doll.
But yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep.
It would be a different kind of stylization.
Yeah. And he's like that. Like I said, he's handsome by Western standards. I don't particularly find him very handsome. But he's kind of like that guy where it's like, look up handsome in the dictionary. And
yeah.
Like, who else is that? Aaron Eckhart is like that too for me. Or whatever.
Aaron Eckhart.
There's a couple guys that are just like, oh, you are, quote, handsome.
Yeah.
I'm mad at it, but I don't necessarily agree with it.
That's like a gingerbread man mold. You just kind of pop out of the oven.
No.
You know?
Like Zac Efron is like that for me.
Agreed.
He's a cookie cutter handsome. Yeah. Give me something weird. I want something weird.
I watched Snow White and the Huntsman the other night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never seen it still.
It's good.
Or the Huntsman. No, it was the Huntsman.
Who's the second one? I haven't seen that. Oh, no. Is Jessica Chastain in that one?
The second one, yeah.
Yes, I have seen that one.
Where the costume.
Jessica Chastain is cookie cutter pretty, too.
Yes.
She's not a real person pretty.
But she's got that dimple on her chin, so she's just quirky.
It's not quirky enough.
She has this vein in her forehead that she like can control at whim when she needs to be angry in a scene. And I like laughing.
My brother has one, but he can't control it.
Maybe she learns it at like the
just
like
in the from Strasbourg. The mirror. Yes.
Yeah. Institute.
Yeah. Well, method.
The
acting.
Strasbourg Studio of Privilege or whatever it's called. Yeah.
bitch.
I like Jessica Chastain.
It's amazing how much pretty privilege is such a crucial part of politics and how it is just like
it's dumb
and everybody falls for it.
And it's
a level of privilege that people are like that and like with stuff that Victoria Wellesby was talking about. Mm-hmm. Pretty privilege and skinny privilege are things that don't even enter into your like critical eye or consciousness or something, right? You're just like, oh, I like this person. Well, why do you like this person? You don't know shit about this person. Oh, well-dressed, pretty, straight teeth, nice hair, knows how somebody to do makeup on them if they can't do it, you know, like all these things that you don't even realize are making form opinions. And there's so many people. I mean, you look at, I don't know if they necessarily get into it specifically in House of Cards, but you look at how everything is so calculated. Mm-hmm. And there's teams of people that have specific skills and they all team up together and they each are given a little piece of the pie and they contribute to this whole big person that you're then looking at and listening to and referencing and man, it's messed up.
It's messed up. And it'll
and the money involved in that too. Like all these people are being paid and they're being paid handsomely.
Yeah. Well, look at like JFK too. When JFK was
We can't talk about this episode without talking about JFK. And
I mean, you gotta those two.
He didn't wear a hat,
and no one wore hats again.
Yeah. Yep.
And hats.
That was the end of hats.
Yeah.
R.I.P. hats.
And then up until that point, a first lady had never worn a strapless dress before.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh la la.
And Jackie was the first person to wear a strapless dress.
And
it
she
took
relaxed
her, it took
the
her two terms to get to
get up to it.
To get to a strapless dress. You can look at like all of her outfits for like state dinners and
stuff. Oh, sure, and they're slowly building.
And they've slowly like she'll wear a strapless dress, but she's like a chiffon overlay.
Like and like the super long gloves.
Interesting.
Yeah, but he was pretty. All those Kennedys are pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Pretty privilege.
Yeah, same thing. Good families, good face,
you know,
good money.
I wonder about things like Arnold Schwarzenegger running the governor, becoming the governor of California.
That's still weird.
That's still weird, but he's a guy that people loved. Yes. And he's, I wouldn't say he's a good looking man because to me, he's not.
Yes.
But dudes sure love him. You know what I mean? Yeah. Lots of women love him.
Yeah.
It can't hurt.
Nope.
You know, it's, if he was especially a troll,
when like
you know.
Said, when you're kind of picking and choosing what cards to play and what strengths or weaknesses to accentuate or diminish, then hey, man. Public perception is messed up.
Especially these days, now more than ever.
All like so many different. I'm like yeah. It's like scrutiny is so intense, but there's still such a high level of obliviousness to it, you know, at the same time.
You mean just people just let stuff go? What do you
mean? Or people just like look at the package and go, I'll do it.
Yep.
That guy sounds great, or that person looks good, or whatever. I like that guy. That lady's, you know, she seems like she'd do a good job.
I like her
hair. What do you know about what do you know about these people? Are you actually listening to what they're talking about? Are you doing any research? Are you like, it can be very unbalanced.
Yes.
And they're taking advantage of that.
Especially when you throw in fake news as an actual real thing.
Yes. Yes. Where people are deliberately creating.
Fall back on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fake stories and then they're getting passed around and misattributed or whatever.
Boy, oi, oi. It's fucked.
It's messed up, yo.
Well, you know, it's not fake news. We still love fashion, unfortunately.
I know.
But fortunately, we'll kind of probably come back with some obsession.
Yes. Let's do it. And we're not going to solve the world's problems.
No.
We are?
We're definitely not going to do it sitting in the basement talking about clothes.
Oh, I was hoping that's exactly how we would do
Drinking vodka sodas in a can. This episode is sponsored by Neutral Vodka Sodas.
Just send us a case and we'll be square.
There you go. Fantastic. We'll talk
about
you
drinking?
All the time.
Are they all pamplemousse?
They're all pamplemousse. Yes, they're all pamplemousse. They're all grapefruit.
Has there ever been any podcast sponsored by alcohol brands?
I don't know.
Who wants to be the first?
Yet again.
We are open
yeah.
to
Yet again, the fashion hags are at the forefront. I was like, what are those those British pate videos?
What?
Those P-A-T-H-E.
Pathé.
Pathé.
Those are French. Aren't those French?
They're British, aren't they?
They're French.
I thought they're British.
I don't know. They're old timey.
I don't know. Go on.
Yeah. I don't know. Just that voice.
Yes. They're making like
the
marble
fashion hags are at the forefront of fashion.
Yes.
Maybe they are British.
Yeah.
And it's just like a factory where they make decorative plates.
Yeah.
This is how we seal them with gold leaf.
They paint globes.
And every once in a while, there'll be like a weird punny joke.
Saw one where women were getting like stent, like they're getting like a perfectly coiffed hairdo, and they were getting like a stencil of a flower on the back with like spray.
Ooh,
oh yeah,
my god, my kid would love that. Yeah. Margo would love it.
And then you could like get your name or your initials or your beau's initials. Like, oh, going out for dinner on Friday night with
Nike
husband?
Swoosh.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's definitely something Telfar or Elk House Lotta would do.
They're so edgy.
They're so edgy.
Gosh. We didn't even talk about
anything
that side of politics.
Oh, well.
Another episode, darlings. Episode.
Yep.
All righty. Okay.
Let's go swing
back.
We'll
be right back.
Okay, wait. All right. We had a very political interlude that was not fashion related at all. But we're back to obsess.
Obsession's time.
I don't know if Evan's the best one to leave on, so maybe we'll let you go first.
Yeah, because this ties into the whole previous conversation that we just had and why we even talked about politics in the first place.
So yes.
The mic is yours.
I have been consumed and ruined.
Construined
by this Amazon series called The Man in the High Castle. And I'm sure...
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun,
which I've never heard of. I've never heard of it. Never heard of the book. Never heard of nothing.
In the long and short of it is the whole premise of the show is what if the Nazi Reich won World War II? What would the world look like? I think it's like 20 years after. So it's set in the 1960s in what was previously the United States of America, which is now... split in a third of it is part of it's a Japanese occupied territory called the Pacific States or the Japanese Pacific States.
Yeah.
And then there's the mountain range, the Appalachian Mountains, that cuts through kind of Montana.
Middle, sure, yeah.
What have you.
That's those, a buffer those flyover zone. States, sure, yeah.
That's a buffer zone. So that's like no nobody's man's land. Yeah. No, like that's like, it's a kind of like a scary place to live, but still like
it's neither that, one
it's
or the
neither
other.
One or the other. And then everything past the mountain range to the east coast. So like New York, Rhode Island, Maine, that is part of the Nazi Reich, which is now called the Greater Nazi Reich. It's like the largest landmass in the Nazi Reich.
Oof.
Like the largest solid landmass. Actually, no, that's not correct because the Nazis have also colonized Africa.
Yeah, all right.
In this sci-fi universe. But this fucking
TJ
show,
is in
man.
This? Sorry, I'm interrupting you. I was just thinking the other day, what's TJ Qualls been up to?
Who? Let me see.
The nerdy guy.
Oh, yeah. I love him in the show. Yeah. I love him. He's really nice. Guy.
I was literally like a week ago being like, I haven't seen him in a while. What's he up to? Thank you for reminding me. I'm just looking
through the
list now.
He's playing a radical. No.
He's not a Nazi. Guy.
He's a resistance worker. He's
just
part of the resistance.
Fighting Nazis. All right.
Uh-huh.
Alexa DeValos is in it. She's Canadian.
Who's she?
I just know her from that.
Well, let me see her face.
That
Vin oh Diesel yeah, Riddick she's movie. She's the main bitch. She's the main girl.
Is she a Nazi?
I can't know. Say. Okay. She's not, but she infiltrates at some point. And this is when you really get to see how fucked up shit is in this world where.
Dang.
So this is a book. Started as a book.
It was a book.
Okay.
And it was a novella. It written in the 50s, I believe. I think that
the 60s. 62.
Yeah.
Philip K. Dick.
So it came out in the 60s and it was this huge thing. It was like, oh my God, this is what America would be like if the Nazis won the war and blah, blah, blah.
Wow, and, written in the 60s too. That's so interesting.
Yeah, and it was set in the 60s.
So oh, wow. Like, imagine reading someone, it in the 60s?
Yeah. Sure, that's messed up.
Ugh, I like it even more now.
So now this, in this show.
Oh, it won a Hugo Award, 1963, which is like the highest award for sci-fi.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he's won it a few times over, but anyway, sorry.
Yeah, but this—it's like the in the movie. I think it's books that are being brought back and forth. Or in the book, it's these books that people are finding and reading, and all of a sudden, it's like oh,
that starts the resistance.
That starts the resistance, and it's like oh, this is it's like a picture into what the world could have been like if the Nazis lost the war. Mm. But in the TV version, it's film reels. So these
cool.
film reels
oh, sure.
are being
sense.
The resistance is the resistance, the Nazis and the Japanese are all like they're trading and fighting and murdering and finding these film reels because for whatever reason, the Führer, a.k.a. Adolf Hitler, is obsessed with these films and they want to keep them away from him and they want to have them for themselves because it's like and these things can.
It's a strange currency.
Yeah,
that's
it's like
been
a currency
created.
That's
sure.
been created.
So the and it's sorry it's set in the 60s
it's
too?
Set in the 60s
okay
but some of these film reels are of the Nazi headquarters in Berlin being demolished like it did in our own
in real life
and these things have like you can Google you can YouTube these videos today like
sure,
they're
right.
there to see and like the Berlin Wall falling which happened like in this world that hasn't even happened yet like this is not the 1970s or whatever year it was when the Berlin Wall fell.
89.
And then there's, it shows the U.S. Testing their atomic bombs.
Ooh.
And all of these different things. And the resistance and the Japanese are like using these. Oh my God, I'm going so ahead of myself. I don't know, this show. This show is
it's
just
a show
like,
or it's a movie?
It's a TV show.
How many episodes?
So there's 12. There's two seasons of 12 episodes, and it's over almost an hour, sometimes over an hour.
Oh
each
wow,
episode.
Each so episode. It's, okay, so that's
how do you
it's
watch
good
that?
Amount detailed. Of?
It's on Amazon Prime.
So do you have to sign up for Amazon Prime to get that?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, that's dumb. I hate Amazon so much.
But I'm sure you can.
How much do you have? How much is it a month for Amazon Prime, or is it just like a one-time deal?
It's like a yearly. I think we pay. There's multiple.
There's
levels
so many bundles.
Of bundles
oh, really?
You can get. Yeah,
there's
a yearly amount and monthly, and yeah, you get a free trial for 30 days.
Yeah, you could definitely.
Just go nuts.
You will once you get started.
There's great
this show,
shows.
That is very interesting. Every I watched American Gods. I want to watch Maisel, Mrs. Maisel. I haven't seen yet.
Which one?
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, I love her.
Cleaning up on the Emmys.
Yeah.
Right now. As
in real time.
But anyway, the world that these people have envisioned, it's all filmed in Vancouver. So I'm like, oh, the Coast Capital Savings Building is the Nazi headquarters in New York City.
Interesting.
Interesting. And it's just like...
So it's a little, right. A little too real?
A little too real for me. I don't know. Yeah. But they've had to create all of these different, like, uniforms and...
All these
Hitler Youth these is tools. Like this like elite society of kids, and like this guy's son is part of it, and he has like a special uniform that only he gets to wear, and then they show him going to school, wow. And he has like special privileges and like all this stuff because he has this position, gross. And he gets to wear this special uniform. But gross. Everyone, it's like part of the law, you always need to be wearing like the symbol at all times. So the women will wear like a brooch, like on a perfect like 1940s dress. And this is another thing. They've made the choice that even though it's the 1960s, that because the Nazis took over during World War II, cultural progression never happened. And therefore, all of the style
they have to maintain this, right,
were
this
frozen
aesthetic.
In time in the 1940s. So it's like this like 40s housewife, but it's 1964 and there's like jet planes that can fly from New York to Berlin in 2 hours. Like, that's the kind of technology that the Nazis
have
available to them because they conquered the whole fucking world.
And they own everything.
And they had all of these scientists and all of these people. And
you it's own really fucked everything.
Up. Oh, no, not in this context. It's terrifying. As a minority, it's not hard. It's not easy to watch sometimes.
Yeah, I bet.
Like I haven't seen it, but I've seen a lot of Handmaid's Tale, which is difficult to watch as a woman.
As a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially a woman who's had kids.
Yeah.
Oof. Or even for a woman who hasn't had kids, I'm sure it's equally difficult. Oof.
You might not want to watch this show then. For multiple reasons.
I was like, I have a high tolerance for things. But
yeah, but
maybe I'll do some Wikipedia before I...
Yeah, maybe I'll just tell you some episodes to skip and I'll just tell you what happens.
Sure,
just
so you can just give me a rundown.
Need to see it.
Great, love it. Yeah. Love it.
Let's just tiptoe through this.
Yeah, it's like that that's like that that website, Did Dogs Die in This
Yes,
Movie?
Yes, Do Dogs, Does the Dog Die?
Yeah.
.com. Yeah. Good one.
But yeah, this fucking show, man, it like, there's some scenes that will haunt me for the rest of my life.
Whew, really? One of those.
And it's not even like the violence. It's not.
Sure.
It's not that it's scary. It's
or
the
gory
way.
Or weird or yeah.
It's the way that these actors and the way they've created this world that is just so unsettling to me at the core of my being.
Just really.
And like the thing that tips it off the most is there's this scene in the second season where one character is sitting with another character and she has to do this test to officially become a member of the Nazi Reich.
The party or whatever, sure.
It's not a party at this time.
I guess it's just the government.
It's like a totalitarian.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's learning the history of the Reich, basically, and she has to do like a citizenship test, I think. That's what it comes down to. And there's a section and she's like, oh, I don't really understand what's happening here, because she was raised... Like, she's in her 20s, so she doesn't really know.
Sure, she wasn't around.
She doesn't know the world.
Yeah.
She was a toddler when the Japanese invaded San Francisco. And
okay.
She's never known anything other than being raised in an occupied territory. So she goes to the Nazi territory and she has to learn all of this different history that she never learned.
Wow.
And there's a section, it's like, we're going to learn about the exterminations carried out after World War II. And she's like, I don't understand. Like, I thought there were no more exterminations. Like, that's what I'm taught. And like, when I was being raised, there were no more exterminations after the war.
Yeah.
And he's like, they never taught you about the Indians? And then cutscene, jump to another part. And I'm just
sure.
Like,
oh, God.
And they just
warning,
let you sit
warning.
With that?
Yeah, they just let you sit with that.
And they don't explain it.
And
which
it's like
makes
this angelic cherub faced, like 14-year-old boy who wants to impress his parents and his
and
mom
be
and be a good kid
yeah.
and get good grades, but he's a fucking Nazi.
Yeah. Oh, like you said, upstairs, like we were talking about upstairs, that you don't know, like you find yourself so conflicted and pulling or whatever, you know.
Yeah, it's like
pulling for people
I wouldn't say that I don't sympathize with these characters who are Nazis in the show, but it's just like
They've created these storylines
and you really get to see
that you get pulled along with, right?
How it shows you the reality of what it must have been like to be a part of that party and how you were brainwashed and how that could have carried out over multiple generations over an extended period of time.
Sure.
And eventually people would have started to see the flaws in the problem, because that's another storyline within that, is that there's a faction of the Nazi party who is trying to,
or
like,
on their own
dissent, like, yeah, who's trying to like take things a step farther in one direction, and
or another,
people are trying to maintain the world the way it is now.
Oh, wow.
Sounds heavy, but I am interested.
Yeah,
for sure.
There's a couple characters.
Like, well written. I mean, Philip K. Dick is
knows what he's doing.
I mean, parts of it can be pretty soap opery, but you know, I love that shit.
It's TV too, right? It's they got to make it interesting, and yeah, they got to play the tropes to, you know, as much as they can.
But I'll tell you this: there's no fucking plot holes. Everything gets tied up nicely.
Well, that's good. Yeah. I do like when that
after
happens.
The second season, like after the season finale, everything that you were like, "What the fuck is going on? Like, why is this dude doing that? Why he's suddenly in all
sure,
he's here when he was
here?
There?"
Yeah.
And it's just like, "Why?" Like, no, it just like all like comes together, and
that's
you're like,
satisfying.
"Oh, I love that.
That's real satisfying."
Like, big mind, like your mind is like,
"Yeah, well, that's good.
Good one."
Yeah. And the clothes are delicious.
Yeah. I bet.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's so, I don't know. It's just like the way that they took these like classic 1940s silhouettes, especially for the wives of the high ranking Nazi officers. And everything is just like so like crisp and like, it's like too perfect.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like slightly futuristic,
yeah,
but like
not.
And then like all of those like little touches of like a little bit of embroidery on like a little girl's dress. And you can see like it's all flowers, but in the middle, it's the swastika.
Oh, well. Shit. Good job.
It's like, I would not have wanted to be on that design team. You can.
That would have. Yeah.
I don't want to be conflicts in that mindset of that kind of world, yeah, for too fucking long.
How many
long
swastikas, yeah, can I put on this shirt? Yeah. Where else can we put one?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
And they had to recreate a bunch of costumes, because a lot of costumes, you're not allowed to produce them anymore. Like, it's against the law.
Oh, sure. Right. Yeah. Interesting.
Like, yeah. Like,
they've had to adapt or change, yeah, or whatever.
Like the SS uniforms, they don't, you know,
walk around in one of those anymore. Yeah,
because like the government, the German government will like slap you with a lawsuit if you like create these, yeah, mass produced. It's really interesting. Yeah,
I didn't know that. Not a bad idea.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, probably
not
good.
Too bad. Mm-hmm. Abby, what about you?
I was talking about you. I was talking with this.
Start
about
again.
This. I was talking about this with you, Katie. work a couple days ago when I came in to pick something up and then talked about this for, I don't know, 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And bored the shit out of our coworker. Yes. Was just we trying to do like...
Poor Christina. Sorry.
Doing like banal like Photoshop work, and I'm just like... and then you're all up in it too. You're getting all riled up too.
Yes.
Podcast. I know Katie. I was talking to Katie as well. She's got the Murderino True Crime. I've discovered I'm a cult person. It's a long time coming. I have been obsessed with cults for a very long time, especially Scientology, as I've spoken on a few occasions on this podcast. But there is a new podcast called Uncover Escaping Nexium about this locked up cult in Albany, New York, of all places.
It is so good, too. I've listened to everything that's
out.
I listened to them all that day.
Yes. Oh, my God. I was supposed to come by and pick something up from work, but I totally got distracted by the podcast. I just drove away. And then to come back to the office the next or, like, later on that day. I mean, like, oh, shit. I was supposed to stop and pick something up. All right. I guess I'll do that. Okay, I got to drive back and listen to more of this podcast again. Whoops. Yeah, taking, like, super extra long detours to, like, get anywhere just so I could fit in these podcast episodes. Yeah, sorry. The kids can wait.
Yeah.
Fine. And you can't play on my phone either because I'm using it to listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
So figure it out, kids. But yes, there's weird podcasts that started out as this like self-improvement seminars, as a lot of these things start out with. Started
it
by
sort
this
of sounded like it like a landmark thing when it
yes.
started. Yeah.
Like you took it when you, if you were in a bad place in your life and you wanted to improve things, Scientology also plays into this too, because that's the same kind of thing. You found out how to be a better person and a better human in the world, and better things would come to you if you were better.
Yeah. And take these seminars and we'll teach
and
you how to
do
it.
Give me all these thousands of dollars and I will teach you the way. Forget, I can't remember the guy's last name. Keith is the guy. His name escapes me now.
I can't remember.
He called himself Vanguard.
Yeah.
That is the title he gave himself. Not the Vanguard, just Vanguard. Vanguard is arriving. Vanguard was waiting for you in the whatever.
Barf.
Anyway, so this guy figured out this whole system. He then recruited a bunch of women, essentially.
Keith Raniere.
And recruited a bunch of women to run these programs for him. A few spots. There was one in Tacoma. There was one in Vancouver. There was one in New York City. There was one, a big center in Albany. And like maybe there's one overseas. I forget now. Mexico City or something. I forget where it was.
Yeah, there's one in Mexico. Yeah.
And
something in Mexico.
You would go and take these courses and get brainwashed into thinking that this cult was good. And like it was, again, it's a very reminiscent of Scientology, which is probably what piqued my interest. About how to interact with other people. They actually use the word suppressives, which is a word I know from Scientology, about people who are stopping you from becoming your best self and how you need to eradicate them from your life.
Straight up culty, mind-washing bullshit.
And then if you try to leave, we will sue the shit out of you, yeah. Which is also a classic Scientology move.
We'll take all the money. Yeah.
So the big story now is they were Keith Raniere and Allison Mack, formerly of Smallville, who hasn't done much in the past few years because she's been
real busy.
Eyeball deep into this fucking cult, which also involved a lot of fucking, some weird sex trafficking too.
Huh.
But they were arrested and charged just like 2 months ago, in July or something, with running this sex trafficking fucking cult.
And there were quite a few connections to Vancouver because there was a recruitment center here.
There was a big recruitment center here. I remembered... I used to work at a talent agency back in the day, and a few of our top-tier talents would make weird trips to Albany back in the day. And I remember my boss, who is a very sharp, very intelligent man, thinking it was a fucking bullshit and trying to convince them to not do this.
Oh, he was a suppressive.
See?
Yeah, you can't listen to them.
They got out of it, and they got out before it got bad, apparently. But, I remember reading about this cult in, 2000. Like, there's a big article in Vanity Fair in 2013. I remember reading about that because I remember being like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
This is messed up. It didn't go
in. I just know everything about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then now with the.
Tell me everything.
And there was,
all this talk of fucked up people is making me overheat.
Oh, my God. And then there was some article on Jezebel in the past few years, too, about it. About these whispers about Allison Mack and these women.
And branding
each other and putting this mark on them, each other, and having this master slave relationship that was sexual but also not sexual.
Fucking
just
weird.
like literally slaves. Like, I jump, you say how high, you answer your fucking phone when I call you type of
it's
deal.
It's insane.
Anyway, it's great. There's 4 episodes out as to date. It's fascinating. And the show itself is a great, it's a CBC show, and the guy who's the journalist is. Lifelong friends, but hasn't seen this woman in years with this woman who tried to get out, who was a top tier recruiter. She was the best recruiter for them. She made tons of money. She was the one of the tops of the pyramids. She was
married to a guy who was also in it.
Yes. And he was in deep too.
They were both. Yeah.
And then she and they tried to get out, and I don't know what happens yet.
I don't know yet either.
Only 4 episodes
I'm
in.
For it. But, I thought there was more out, and I was I gotta wait.
I cannot get enough. And I'm reading the old Jezebel articles about it from a few years ago. I haven't gone back and read the Vanity Fair article about it. But man,
I didn't know there was a Jezebel. I'm gonna have to go back.
There's
and
a few that. About Allison Mack in particular, because that was the one. And they're really, Jezebel's women centric, so they're playing up the women part of it. And also, they love talking about douchebag men taking advantage of women.
Don't we all?
Which is essentially, my bread and butter. 90% of my interests. Cat and puppies. Cute animals on the internet. But anyway, it's great. I can't stop thinking about it.
It's so good.
I'm so angry. I'm screaming and in my car, grunting with anger and
This was going to be my obsession if I didn't have my actual current.
Oh, man.
This has been it. Until this morning, in fact, that was my obsession. It's so good.
Yeah, I'm getting riled up just thinking about it, and that vodka didn't hurt either.
Yeah, I'm having cocktail sweats
getting
over
vapors.
Here.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Talking about Nazis and all kinds of cults.
Cults? So good.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Were the Nazis a cult? I think so.
They were kind of cult. I don't know if you can call a political party a cult.
Or were they a cult that exceeded cult to become a political party?
Yeah.
There's probably some academic writing on this if you need to Google it. I'm sure there's some.
Oh, God. Yeah. I've gone down way too many Nazi rabbit holes. I need to do some self-care and watch, like, fucking.
Watch The Sound of Music a couple of times.
Bob Ross.
Yeah. Hey, man, it's on Netflix.
No,
go for it.
I can't even have that level of Nazi, like, where it's like Julie Andrews as a buffer. Like, That's not even enough. I can't.
Bob's Burgers. Just Bob's Burgers.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Bob's Burgers. What have I.
I've been
listening to my Angela podcast.
There you go. That'll do it. That's a good chaser.
That's good self-care.
Yeah.
Very good self-care. Oh. A very niche brand of Evan Ducharme self-care, but self-care nonetheless.
It's a little piece of your pie. There you go. Anyway.
Yeah.
I literally would be having the same exact conversation.
Yes.
But this afternoon, I got a surgery.
Hey, congrats. That's Yay! Awesome. That's
my
exciting.
Aunt, I know. Thank God. My aunt, about a week ago, she lives in Victoria, and she texted me, and she's like, my friend is selling this surgery. Are you interested? It's $300. And I was like, I am interested, but $300 is a bit steep right now. It's a great deal for a surgery.
It's a pretty good deal. They're $1,000 or something, right?
Yeah, it's depending on what shape it's in, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I think it was like, I don't. Anyway, I was like, I would love it, but $300 is a bit steep. So if it's still around after my birthday, like if I get some birthday money, then I can throw towards that then. And if it's still around, then it's meant to be and I'll get it.
That's your sign.
So I guess there was like a couple ladies that were looking at it or whatever. And this woman is friends with my aunt and she's like, well, I mean, nobody else has taken it and they've, a couple of people looked at it, but it didn't do a thing they wanted or whatever. And she's like, if your niece wants it, I'll sell it to her for $150. And I was like,
yeah, I can make that work.
Yeah, I can do that. That I can do. And so my parents are on the island on a holiday right now.
Well, that's
and they were visiting with my aunt at the time. And so we were trying to coordinate like getting it back because they're coming from the ferry and like picking it up and blah, blah, blah. Which is why I was at Bass Pro Shops today, is because it was right off the right off the highway at Tawasin.
Yeah,
the
big mall,
that gigantic fucking mall down there.
I still haven't seen it.
I haven't been yet either.
Oh man, the Bass Pro Shop.
I mean, need to go like for a whole day. It'd be like a 6-hour excursion. I think
it is,
and no kids.
A wild ride. Yeah,
maybe we could have a Fashion Hags
field trip.
Do field research.
Yes.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Podcast on the field.
There's a free shuttle there.
There is, yeah.
Ah.
Anyway, that's why I was there.
Liquored.
That was the meetup parking lot.
Sweet.
To get this. But so my mom's like, well, why don't I just get it for you for your birthday? And I was like, yeah, that's the best idea.
Perfect.
So the best. So they dropped it off. Pardon me?
Have you set her up yet?
I pulled it out of the box. Mm-hmm. I went through the manual. I haven't set it all up because I was like, I'm going to want to do
something.
You're
really going to want it yet.
I don't have space in my apartment. Like, I got to
make room.
Make
set
room.
It up
and
yeah.
It was like right before dinner.
Clear the table
and
or whatever.
I don't have time to do this. So, but tomorrow.
I was going to say tomorrow.
Tomorrow I got time.
There you go. Tomorrow afternoon. Here
Yay,
it comes.
Yay. I'm so excited. I've been using my friend Olivia's who lives like, 10 minutes away. So I'm like half sewing stuff, running over to her place, sew it up, or serge it.
Sure, do as much as
cut
you
stuff
can
out,
before you
serge
need
it,
to.
Bring
yeah.
it back. It's been a laborious kind of a
that really
kind of an operation.
Your flow.
Yes, yeah. Especially when you cut the wrong number of pockets for your dress and you're like, fuck, I needed four pockets, not two.
Like the front, and the two pieces per side.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that multiple times.
Yeah. Fuck, I was mad when I got the dress and I was like, idiot, you didn't cut enough pockets. So, yeah, that won't happen anymore. So that's nice.
Yeah. Oh, congratulations.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
No, I'm so glad. It's like the best birthday present. So excited. So that's me, short and sweet.
Nice.
No Nazis.
No Nazis. I'm going to have something so cute next week.
Great. I'm looking forward to it.
I want it to be of the caliber of the weird dog that Abby found.
Mr. Bubs.
And
I love it, Mr. Bubs. Do you love me? Oh, yeah. I got that on camera.
And the kid.
I've seen it a few times.
And the carrying watermelons.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty sweet.
Summer got cut really short. I didn't see too many watermelons this year.
No.
A couple.
I saw one. And she was having a hell of a time.
I love it.
Oh, and I think it was like, where was I? I was in the West End.
Yeah, I've only seen it in the West End.
People are walking to the grocery store.
At the Independent, at the Independent on Davie.
Yeah.
I had a good cackle to myself, and my friends had no idea what I was laughing at. It's like, you bitches don't listen to my fucking podcast.
Fuck you.
Bitches.
Yeah.
If you're
gonna carry the watermelon home, then
and I'm gonna laugh.
I'm gonna laugh.
Oh man.
Mm. Oh boy, this has gone on for way too long.
It's time to put it to Mm-hmm.
It's time for me to go to bed.
It's to bed.
7 a.m. meeting in the morning. Ugh. But this was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
We got us all riled up.
Yeah.
Now it's time to go to bed.
Yeah. There you go. Time to pass out.
Yeah. Well, just remember, you can find us in all the places. We're on Instagram, Internet Fashion Hangs.
And stuff. Yeah.
You can email us if you have an idea. We love hearing from you guys. It's so great. FashionHangs@gmail.com. And follow us on Facebook if you want.
Instagram.
Check out the website as well, FashionHangsPodcast.com.
Yep, cool.
The blog that KG so wonderfully curates for y'all.
You can stream stuff there if you want. You can comment. You can do all kinds of fun shit.
Love
whatever.
It.
Rate. Review, subscribe on iTunes.
Recommend.
That, to your friends.
That helps. That helps a lot. So do that.
Yeah, this is not a cult.
I promise, it's not a cult.
You can come and go as you please.
We're not rich enough to hire lawyers to chase after you. So
yeah,
and we're
come
not
and go as you please.
We're not taking any money. No. So we do want to make your life better.
Sure.
Yeah.
But we're not going to.
We do have a specific point of view, and if we just repeat it enough, it could become an ideology.
Ooh, hashtag hag.
Hagatry? No.
Hag life. We got hag life already.
Hagology.
Hagology. Ooh, that's good too.
Yeah, there you go.
Hagianity. Yeah.
Now we just need a logo so we can brand it onto all of our followers.
Nice.
Oh, no. We'll just put it on the label.
Oh, good idea. That's a better idea. That's a better idea.
I want a sticker.
That's a better idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening and all that stuff. Mm. And do remember that we love you.
But we love fashion more.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Bye.